Thanks for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Ralph Stanley has been singing and playing professionally since he and his brother Carter formed a band back in 1946. Now, in a new memoir, he looks back on his early days, decades on the road, and how the Stanley style came to be. His new book is called Man of Constant Sorrow. Ralph Stanley joins me in the studio. I'm so pleased to have you here.
I'm proud to be here with you.
I'm proud to have you here. We're going to talk about old-time mountain music because that's what you call it, isn't it?
You can't beat it.
You can't beat it. You're absolutely right. But first, I want to listen to a song that you first heard from your father when you were very young. Ralph Stanley, tell me about this song.
Well, that goes way back when I was just a little boy. And I know Man of Constant Sorrow was probably 200 or 300 years old. But the first time I heard it when I was, you know, like a small boy, my father, he had some of the words to it, and I heard him sing it, and my brother and me put a few more words to it and brought it back in existence. I guess if it hadn't been for that, it'd have been gone forever. And I'm proud to be the one that has brought that song back because I think it's wonderful. Was your daddy a man of constant sorrow? Well, probably, I guess, somewhat. He was sort of bad to worry and things like that. And he sang some of the old-time lonesome songs like Pretty Polly and Man of Constant Sorrow, Barbie Ellen, songs like that.
And here you have made the title of your book, Man of Constant Sorrow. It's a memoir. Is your heart representing a man of constant sorrow?
Well, I guess you might say it has. When I sang that Man of Constant Sorrow, I try to sing it just so plain that you can just almost hear it back then, you know, and almost see what's going on. I feel it, and I think you can tell that through my phrasing and everything.
What is it that you feel so deeply that is that constant sorrow?
Well, there could be a lot of things, I guess, that would cause that, but I don't know. I can just, when I hear the melody and about it, like a song like that, I just, I like the melody of a song, really, actually better than the words.
Hmm.
And that's why I guess I can put more in it, you know, more feeling in it, because I like the melody.
I would like to know about your brother, Carter, and how the two of you began singing together.
Well, we were very young, Carter and me, and her daddy bought an old Philco radio in 1936. And they, you know, there was the Grand Ole Opry, and there was early morning shows, and we started listening to music like that and got interested in it, and here we are. Here I am.
The idea of singing together, sort of taking the two of you together on the road, was that more Carter's idea than yours?
Well, I guess actually probably he was a leader in it. Yes, he had, of course I wasn't hard to influence. You know, I was ready to join in and do what I could.
You were ready to join in because you loved the singing, because you loved that banjo.
I think it was born and bred in me.
Really?
Yes.
Did your daddy also play that banjo?
No, he didn't play anything. And he, you know, he didn't sing anywhere except around home. And he'd sang in church. And he was very, he was a little bit backward, maybe like I am, I guess. And
do you think you're backward?
Well, sometimes I think I am, and then I don't know. I try not to be.
How do you think you're backward?
Well, I that's hard to answer. I just don't know.
You just sort of feel it.
Maybe I'm not gifted, you know, to think of words to say or something, but do the best I can.
But you know, your music says so much about you that backward is not a word that anyone would apply to you. And of course, you have an honorary doctorate, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You are, in fact, Dr. Ralph Stanley.
Yes, that's what they call me, and I have so many awards.
That's lovely.
I guess I've got more than any man that's ever been in this business.
So maybe you ought to put that word backward aside.
What could I call it?
I don't know. Forward is a good way to look at it. Now, let's hear you and Carter together.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello there, stranger.
Could you tell me how far it is to Little Rock?
Well, no, sir, I couldn't, buddy, but there's a devil of a big one down here in Pap's old field.
Stranger?
Well, hello again, stranger.
Your corn looks awful little and yellow.
Oh, I planted a little yeller kind this year.
You must not be figuring on much more than a half crop.
That's exactly right. I'm raising on the shares, 50-50.
You couldn't be very far from a fool.
Couldn't be what?
Very far from a fool.
That's right, son. Just this microphone here between us.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello there, stranger.
How'd your potatoes turn out?
Son, you'll have to speak a little louder. I don't hear too well out of this left ear.
I said, how did your taters turn out?
Oh, my taters. Well, they didn't turn out at all. Old Sal rooted them out.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
Would you head that cow there for me?
Buddy, she's got a head.
Well, turn her then.
The hairy side's turned out.
Well, would you speak to her?
Good morning, old heifer.
You sure had fun with that one.
We certainly did.
Did you know what you were going to say before you said it.
Yeah, I reckon we had it memorized, you know. We heard them a lot of them words from an old man from the state of Kentucky by the name of Fletcher Moss, and he called it the Arkansas Traveler. And instead of the Arkansas Traveler, we renamed it as How Far to Little Rock.
It's a great song.
I think so.
You had real fun with it.
That's the best-selling song we've ever recorded.
Really?
Right. Uh-huh.
Very best-seller.
Uh-huh.
Your brother Carter died young.
He was 41 years old.
How'd he die?
Well, he was a little free with drinking, you know.
Too much.
Drinking too much, and he didn't take care of himself. He, you know, he wouldn't, when he drank, he wouldn't eat anything, and that made it that much worse, you know. He just happened to go, you know, 41 years old.
That must have been awfully hard on you.
That was hard to overcome, but I finally, you know, whipped it, and I just knew I had to, or whatever, you know.
You had to keep going.
Had to keep going, and I wanted to keep going, and I didn't know. He was sort of most of the time the leader, you know, who would talk. Of course, I did the business work, but I was in doubt, and I got phone calls, and I got letters, I don't know how many, from my fans saying, don't quit, go on, because we'll be more for you than ever, because we know you'll need it. So that helped me.
Dr. Ralph Stanley, his new book is titled Man of Constant Sorrow. That wonderful music. Dr. Ralph Stanley is here in the studio. His new memoir is titled Man of Constant Sorrow. He is a man who has lived a long life. He's now, what, 82 years old?
82 years old.
Well, you sure look as though you're in good health.
Well, as far as I know, I am, and I hope I am, and thank you for the compliment.
Well, you're certainly welcome. You call your music old-time mountain-style music and not bluegrass. How come?
Well, I think the bluegrass actually is a little bit more polished than the music that I play, because I just go back and sing it like God gave it to me. Don't try to put anything extra in it. If I put anything extra, it goes the lonesome way. And I think it's just a little bit, I mean, there's not much difference in it. Back when Bill Monroe was, you know, that was bluegrass. And that's what I call bluegrass.
That's what you call bluegrass, but you call your own style very, very different.
Old-time mountain music.
Old-time mountain music.
I like to call it that.
Now, you also are a man who prefers not to do a great deal of talking. Isn't that right?
Well, I guess God gave me what he wanted me to have, and I didn't have the gift that my brother had to talk. But as far as doing business, why, I was a little ahead of him on that, so I did that. And
so you did the business side. He did the talking side.
He did the talking, yeah.
So once he died and you got all those letters from fans urging you to continue, was there at first in your mind a feeling that you wanted to give up? You didn't want to go further?
No, I never had that. If I didn't know where I could handle it or not, you know, because there's a lot of MC work and a lot of things like that. But as far as management and everything, I had that. And that's very important, too. And it seemed like the Lord is just with me, and he just gave me the urge to go on. And
Do you remember that very first time when you had to go on without him?
I remember the first show we played, that he'd been gone, I believe, 19 days, and we'd already had this booked in Buffalo, New York. And we went up there, drove up there, and I missed the turnoff to the place that we was to go play. And I made a U-turn, and of course I got stopped by the police, you know, coming back, and I'll never forget that. And
what did the police say?
Well, we had a pistol in the car.
Oh, which, my goodness.
Which was a felony and everything. So George Shuffler, he played the guitar and the bass with us for about 18 years. And, you know, somebody had to claim that pistol. And he did that because I was driving my brother Carter's car. And they sort of took him, you know, to jail for a little.
They took him to jail.
George. And I had just me, Melvin Goins, and Curly Ray Klein to go on and do the show. But George made the show before we finished it and helped us finish out the show.
You mean the police let him go?
Yeah, they let him go, uh-huh.
After they took the pistol?
Mm-hmm. And we went back, of course, we went back for trial on that, you know. And the judge, he said, that's a felony, and I could do this or I could do that. But he said, you boys looks like you're all right, you're good people, and you had your pistol for a good cause, and said, I'm going to dismiss the case.
Wow.
So that was about the worst thing that's ever happened.
Do you remember the first song you sang that night?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
You don't?
No.
I was wondering whether singing without Carter publicly for the first time was something that was very special in your memory.
Well, yeah, that was hard to do, and of course I missed, you know, he had a good voice with me, and I missed that pretty bad. And but I've been fortunate to find good lead singers all through the years, and the Lord's blessed me, and I'm thankful, very thankful.
It's wonderful to be thankful, isn't it?
Thank you. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think that means all of it.
You sing in church a lot still?
When I can, you know, because I play out most weekends. But when I can, I go to church and help sing.
We've got a song I'd like to hear.
Friends, this is the first tune I ever learned to play from my mother many years ago. I'm going to try to play it just as close as I can, the way she did. Shout, Little Lulie. Thank you.
This is, you said, a song your mother taught you.
Yes, ma'am, right.
Tell me about your mother.
Well, my mother was, a mighty fine mother, and that back in her young days, now, is when she was doing the banjo playing there. I mean, because she was 41 years old before I was born, and all of her picking was done before Carter or me was ever born. But that tune right there will make you get up and go on it.
I should say, and it's in this clawhammer style.
Tell me about that. I call it the clawhammer because you sort of claw with your fingers instead of, sort of frail it on you. You don't use a frail to do it. And instead of picking with your fingers this way, you pick down on it. I use the two fingers for rhythm and then the thumb for the fifth string. And that's about all I can tell you about that again. I learned from her, but I try to figure out everything I do my way. I don't want to sound like anybody else. And I don't think I do, and I believe that's helped me.
So what you did was see her do what she did and then adapt it for yourself.
I added to it. She done one tune. That was Shout Little Lulu, the one you just heard.
Right.
And I went from there on my own then.
Sure sounded good.
Well, thank you.
Now, you played that wonderful music from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You sang, and you were actually representing the voice of a Klansman. I'd like to know how you felt about doing that.
Well, at first, I didn't hardly know what people would think, you know. I didn't want people to think I was a Klansman. But I don't think it mattered, you know, after it's all over with.
You didn't think much about it?
No.
Whoa, death, won't you spare me over till another year? What is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, this is death, none can excel. I hold the key for heaven or hell. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Bridle your tongue till you can't talk. I'll stiffen your limb till you can't walk.
I'll blind your eyes till you can't see this very hour. Come and go with me.
Oh, death. Oh.
Did you know that that was going to represent the voice of a Klansman?
Well, I never thought much about it at that time, I reckon, but then I didn't know what would happen with it, you know. Seeing me in a Klan suit, you know, and all that, But everything worked out all right. I think people understand.
Did you get commentary afterwards?
Well, I really don't know.
Did people write you letters?
No, you mean concerning that?
Yeah.
No, I've never been questioned or anything about it. I'm proud that I wasn't, and I've never even been questioned about it.
Did you like the song?
Yeah, I like the song. Yeah, I like it.
Do you like listening to it?
You know, I believe I'd rather hear it myself than anybody.
That's wonderful to say. That's really wonderful.
That's confidence, isn't it?
It's confidence, and it's a wonderful sense that you are your own biggest fan.
I'm proud to be.
At 27 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. We've got a lot of callers, so I'm going to open the phones now and hear some of their questions. Let's go first to Keystone Heights, Florida. Good morning, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning, Diane. Quick thank you for your wonderful show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Stanley, I can't express in words enough how much your music has meant to me over these last 50 years since I first heard you.
Certainly appreciate that.
It goes, when I hear your voice, it goes to the depth of my soul because I feel like your music is coming out of the hearts of the people from the area where you lived, people that actually went through those tough times and were able to express it. I do have one question. What values do you still hold in your heart that keep you going every day and help you get up every day and fight through the trials and tribulations that you have had to face?
Well, I'd say the main thing is good Lord, God above, has been with me all through the years. I've always believed in him, and I believe it's paid off.
And that is your strength.
Right.
Were you ever a drinking man?
No, I took a drink, but I never got a hold of him, you know, and I'm proud to say that.
What do you suppose happened to Carter? Why did it get hold of him?
Well, I just don't know unless he could have had troubles, you know, that we didn't know about, and I don't know that, but you never know what's in anybody else's mind, you know. He could have had troubles that nobody knew about. And that, of course, alcohol, you know, will help kill pain, I guess.
Or we think it does.
We think it, yeah. Uh-huh. And I may be wrong, but that's sort of my, you know.
Thanks for calling, Mark. Let's go to Edward in Nashua, New Hampshire. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
He said that his father sang him the song for the title of the book when he was a toddler. Is that about the age he was?
That's right, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, what year was that?
What year was that? I was born in 27. I'd say that was in the 30s sometime.
Okay, so it'd be like in the early 30s.
No, it'd probably be up, I was probably 8 or 10 years old.
Oh, 8 or 10 years old, so you're not a toddler.
I don't know.
Also, you said you needed a word for other than backward. What you're describing is sidebar. So the next time anybody says backward, you say the word that you want is sidebar.
I don't think so. I sort of think it may be shy.
Well, shy sounds better.
Shy sounds better.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I think shy is a lovely characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Of course, now I'm out of a lot of that shyness now, because 63 years is a long time. I've been doing this 63 years.
So you got to get over and past your shyness when you go out there and see 1,000 or 10,000 people waiting for you.
A crowd don't bother me one bit now. I'm all out of that.
On the other hand, what happens when you go into a small church?
Well, now that bothers me a little bit. When I go into a small church, maybe there'll be 20 or 25 people. But when I go on the stage to put on a show, if it's 50,000 or whatever, don't bother me one bit now, in no way.
Why do you think this small church bothers you?
Well, I guess it's just something I never did much, you know, and it just, I don't know. Maybe you think they're watching you a little closer or something.
I'm sure they are. Ralph Stanley, playing for you, speaking for you, singing for you. We'll be right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org. From the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, informing health reform with policy research, data, and expert commentary on the web at healthreform.org. And by the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ruth Reichel, editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine, about the surprise announcement that the magazine would publish its final edition in November. And after we talk about recipes in her new book, Gourmet Today, we'll talk about her latest memoir, Not Becoming My Mother. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Welcome back. We've got a call from Wake County, North Carolina. Good morning, Hank. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing there, Diane? Well, Ralph, it's being a picker over here in North Carolina, it's a real honor to speak to you. In fact, a couple of your current Clinch Mountain boys, Jimmy Cameron and Dewey Brown, I've played in bands with them in the past, and I tell you, they are thrilled to pieces to be playing with you. And You've had such great musicians that's gone on to other careers down through the years. I wonder if what's your best Curly Ray Klein story you could tell on the air, or maybe a Jack Cook story. And I'll hang up and listen, Ralph.
Well, I'll tell you, there's so many things that happened with Curly Ray Klein, I wouldn't know where to start. And he was, Curly was with the crowd. He would agree with whatever they said. Why? That was fine with him, and he could get along with anybody. And Jack is a little bit different from that. He was easy to offend him, you know, more than Curly. But they were both fine people, and I'm enjoying the boys from North Carolina. They're doing a good job.
Dr. Ralph Stanley, you were traveling a lot for your career. How did that figure in to your married life?
Well, you know, I've been married about 43 years, and I think that's just about a record for an entertainer that's been on the road as long as I have. And I've got a good wife, and I'm proud of her, and I just thank the Lord for it.
Of my shoes. I'm a-going back to old Aunt Donna, cause I got the married life blues. Shoes. I'm a-going back to old Aunt Donna, cause I got the married life blues.
Tell me about the married life blues.
Well, I don't know. I've never had much blues. I'm very well satisfied, and I can't tell you much about the blues.
So why this song?
Well, that's just another song, you know.
It's just out there.
Yeah.
Do you think that most of these songs from the mountains are sad songs?
Yes, I think they are.
Why?
Well, back in the olden days, I guess, you know, people had more trouble and all. I really don't know, but most of them are sad songs. Maybe the people were more sadder back then than they are now. I just couldn't tell you.
Now, were your mother and father sad together?
Well, I don't know. You know, they, of course, they separated, you know.
Early on.
Yeah.
How old were you when they separated?
I was about 13 or 14 years old.
That must have been tough.
It was.
Your daddy left.
Daddy left,
Where'd he go?
Well, he, first place he went was Texas. He just got out and traveled around, I reckon, and had a good time, I guess.
And you stayed with your mama?
Yeah, I stayed with my mama, yeah. She had a great mama.
She must have had to work hard.
She did. She wore ragged clothes just to support me, Carter and me, you know, so buying clothes and everything. She'd raise a garden and peddle the vegetables, you know, all to different places, sell them to keep us going.
And how old was she when she died?
She was 86.
Good. Mm-hmm. She lived a good long life.
Yes, she did. Uh-huh.
And you were close to her the whole time.
Real close.
I'm glad. That's wonderful. There is a story in the book about the first time you ever sang in public in a church when your father put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
Tell us about that.
I remember that very well. He liked this song, Salvation, Oh, the Name I Love. And he always was asked to, you know, to start that song. You know, it's all a cappella. And that morning, he couldn't remember how it went. Well, he knew I did, and it scared me to death when he told me to sing. And what could I do? All I could do is to try, and I finally got it out and got through it, and that was my first.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now taught my heart to fear. Was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace grace my fears relieve. And grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, the hour I first believed. When
that a cappella portion, you feel very strongly about a cappella singing.
That was the first thing that I ever heard. And I heard that song when my mother took me to church when I was 4 years old. And you hear me aligning the song there. Back in them days, I've been told that maybe the church just had one songbook and couldn't afford but one book. And the preacher got up and lined it, and so the audience, you know, would know the words to help sing it. And I've heard that that's the reason that you hear that line right now.
We first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch like me.
That saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Was blind, but now I see.
Was blind, but
I think that kind of singing is one thing that's kept me around for 63 years, because you don't hear it anywhere else other than the churches.
So you like to continue to sing in churches that way?
I love it.
You love it. Are there other songs that you sing in churches?
Yeah, there are other songs, yeah. Terror With Me, Oh My Savior, Village Churchyard. And, well, there's just all kinds of them, you know, July like that, several.
Will you sing for me?
What do you want me to sing?
Anything you want.
We went down the road, we turned together to the ocean shore. And the village there, the road had been changed, and the people have wondered. The bells don't ring anymore. Turn back, ye wayward pilgrim. Come back to the peaceful shore. Turn back, for the Savior is waiting to rescue you from the ranks of woe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Just beautiful. You know, some people have said that even as a little boy, you had this extraordinary voice, the little boy with a 100-year-old voice.
I've heard that many times.
You've heard it.
I've heard it.
Now, what do you think it is about your voice?
Well, it's just a gift that
it's
God
a gift.
Gave me. Just a gift.
And you simply accepted it as it was.
Very much. I enjoy it.
You enjoy your voice.
I do, yeah.
other people enjoy your voice so much.
I hope so.
And continue to. I'm going to take one more call. Let's go to David in Greensboro, North Carolina. He's been waiting a long time. Good morning,
Diane and Dr. Ralph.
Good morning.
I grew up in Southwest Virginia during the 50s and was blessed to have heard the Stanley Brothers and the Clinch Mountain Boys regularly on WCYB and on Farm and Fun Time, and saw them at the Paramount Theater in Bristol. And the greatest thrill I had was seeing them one time and introduced my wife to them in the basement of a Methodist church in 1969 in Knoxville, Tennessee, shortly after Carter died. I want to point out a couple of things to you and your listeners. One, there's a wonderful article by Charles McGrath in the New York Times this morning.
Today, exactly.
And then, but I also want to point out there's a DVD available of Pete Seeger's show Rainbow Quest, and a show featuring Ralph and Carter Stanley about a year or so before Carter's death. And George Shuffler's on that CD, and also a mountain woman dressed to the nines, a performer known as Cousin Emmy, Cynthia Mae Carver. And my question to Dr. Ralph this morning, how did you make the connection with Pete Seeger, and are there other videos of early performances? And by the way, thank you for your radio commercial endorsing our president during the presidential campaign.
Well, you're welcome. And what else was it?
Are there videos available other than Pete Seeger's Quest show of early videos of you and Carter? And
well, where you can get them or what?
No, are they available?
We might have one or two available. We've got so many of everything, I guess there's some of them around.
I'm sure there are. At 6 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. And I must say, maybe we can take one last quick call from Yuri in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, you're on the air.
How are you?
Fine,
Diane,
thanks.
And Dr. Ralph.
Go right ahead, sir.
Dr. Ralph, thank you for the music you had shared with us.
Very welcome.
I grew up in the Philippines, and I didn't know that this is mountain music, but I love it. And now that I'm living in Waxo, North Carolina, I'm not too far from the music. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, and it's good to hear from you.
I'm glad you called, Yuri. Is there another song you might sing for us?
Well, I could sing that Amazing Grace, I guess.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. I lined that last line there, you see.
I lined that last line. What does that mean, I lined that last line?
Well, that's just telling all the people in the congregation the words to sing with you.
And they do it after you do it.
They do it after, well, everybody joins in. They know what to say, you know, if they don't have a book or something.
Shall I join in with you?
Do what?
Shall I join in with you?
Yeah, sure can.
Do it once more.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That saved
a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was But now I see
Dr. Ralph Stanley.
But now I see.
The book is titled Man of Constant Sorrow. Dr. Ralph Stanley, thank you so much.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
And I you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Reed.
We went down.